Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Well, good morning and welcome on Pentecost Sunday. It's great to be with you this morning. Just a couple of pieces of news this morning. We have a guest in the house today, you may have noticed. No, it's not Peter, it's actually Brenda the dog. Brenda is going to be ring dog in a little while, and so we're trying to get Brenda used to being in the church in preparation for that, as Darren and Hannah look forward to getting married. So if they disappear, they've told me, during the service, it's just because Brenda's become a bit excited and nothing to do with the fact the way I lead the service or how Peter preaches. Of course, if they leave during Peter's sermon, then it's definitely about that, but no, of course it's not. So that's just to let you know that. One of the other things I want to let you know about this morning is as we slowly release from the lockdown, as it were, and we eke a little bit more freedom into our worship, I thought this morning we could start trying to come up for communion. So we could start that. You'll still be receiving one kind. You'll still be receiving the bread, the wafer. I suspect we will be a little while before we go back to the common cup of the wine. So when you come to that point of receiving communion, if you come up here one at a time and given the sensible distance between you and the other person, I shall distribute communion from here. So wear your mask up, and then at this point, I'll have my mask on. You can take the communion wafer in your hand and then walk perhaps back down that way, watching out for the mat here that's on the ground covering the cable. This has got all sorts of potential, hasn't it, this? And return into your chair. Does that seem reasonable that we might approach it that way this morning? Good, good. There is something about looking into your eyes as I give you communion about the love of God coming there. So, and just, I mean, you've got the notices on your notice sheet, which you get either here or by email. Do take your notice sheet home with you. But one thing I wanted to point out to you is about these email scams that are going around. You may have heard of these before. Just to say, from a technical perspective, it's very, very easy for me to fake an email as though it's coming from you. Okay, you don't need to know how that's done, but Nigel and I both know it's very easy to do that, don't we? So if you receive an email, particularly from an email that says something like, "Hi, my name is Max," or "Hi, it's the rector here, can you send me some Amazon vouchers or can you send me some money?" You can pretty much guess it's not from me really, can't you? So be careful of those things, and the same careful of the phone calls as well that you get. And if in any doubt, in fact, be very skeptical, just say no thank you, hang the phone up. If Max is that desperate, he will physically get hold of me, you know? I went through this a little while ago with someone faking my emails, and more recently this week it's gone throughout the deanery. And unfortunately some poor person in Walterville was scammed out of a couple of £100s. So, you know, but it can be much worse than that. So be very skeptical about these emails. Don't want to worry you, just be very careful. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Other than that, I think all the news is on your sheet. Today is Pentecost, the day when we celebrate the birth of the church and the Holy Spirit coming on us here on the earth so that we might know God's guidance and God's love. It's a really important day in our church. And I think if you read my rector's thought for the week, you'll notice that there are some people who have had experience of that in the past which perhaps are not of God. And that doesn't mean that all of them are, but it just means that some people have been hurt by people who have misunderstood the Holy Spirit. In my experience, the Holy Spirit has come in many ways in my life. He's come gently. We just had a lovely time this morning, a gentle understanding of the Holy Spirit present with us in our 9 o'clock service. And other times, and for me, you know, less often, I have physically felt the Holy Spirit present in my body, and it's made me maybe just shake a little or something like that, but I've felt God's Spirit with me. None of which I need to be scared about or you need to be scared about. The Holy Spirit isn't a dictator. He won't make you do anything that you don't want to do, you know. But let's be open to the Holy Spirit this morning as we celebrate Pentecost and Him coming in our lives and the birth of the church. So with that in mind, let's take a moment to be quiet before we begin. Holy Spirit, we recognize that you are already present, that you do not leave us and come to us, but you are always there. As we worship you this morning, might our hearts be open and our minds be open to experiencing you. Amen. And so we go to our prayer of preparation as we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. We pause for a moment to reflect on our lives as we come before a God who is keen to forgive us. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we confess together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen in you all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And whilst you don't have to, if you'd like to, join me in standing this morning. You're more than welcome to as we say the Gloria together. Let's worship our God together as we say, Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's take a moment to sit down and just reflect before I pray the collect, the prayer of the week. Maybe take a moment to reflect and just ask God what it is that he feels that you should be most thankful for. As we come to this time of thanks, what is it that the Holy Spirit would prompt you about that you need to thank God for? God, who at this time taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort through the merits of Christ Jesus our Saviour, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Peter's going to bring us our first reading this morning, which of course is from Acts.
The reading is taken from the second chapter of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard his own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some of them, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all peoples. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That is the end of the lesson.
And once again, you don't have to, but if you'd like to stand for the gospel out of respect, you are more than welcome to. Reading from John 15, 26 through to 16, 15. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. As you sit, let me invite Peter up, and I'll pray for Peter before he shares his word with us. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the skills and the gifts that you have endowed upon Peter. Would you use his preparation to your glory? And would you open our hearts and our minds to hear your message for us today? Amen.
Amen. I wonder if you've ever run out of petrol or diesel, if that's your thing. I never have, and that's not because I'm particularly good at looking at the fuel gauge. It's because I would absolutely die of embarrassment if the AA man came to me and found out all I'd done was forgotten to put petrol in. I just dread the withering look. The same withering look, I have to say, that I got when I went into our local shop in Cosham to get a new battery for my watch because it's going a bit slow. And I walked in and I gave the watch to the woman at the counter. She had a look, and then she looked at me with a bit of a withering look, and she said, "Do you do a responsible job, sir?" I thought, oh, that's amazing. You could tell that by just looking at a watch. And I said, yeah, I do, actually. She said, yeah, we usually find that they're related. I said, oh, what do you mean? And then she showed me the back of my watch, which you can see the innards of because it has a glass at the back. And she said, this is an automatic. It doesn't have a battery. Withering looks. I'm going to take you away from withering looks and bring you back to that reading that Peter gave to us from Acts chapter 2 about the very first Pentecost. And I want us to have a think about what the disciples would have been going through, not just on that day, but in fact, the 3 years leading up to that day. If you like, up to very recently, the disciples would have had 3 years of running on a spiritually full tank because they'd been with Jesus for 3 years. And they'd seen him do miracles, they'd heard the amazing teaching that he gave. They would have been full spiritually. And then we get to Holy Week. And gradually, day by day, their spiritual fuel tank, if you like, was getting lower and lower as things seemed to be turning against Jesus, until we get to Good Friday, when they'd absolutely hit rock bottom. And they'd watched Jesus die, and then for 3 days they were running on empty. And then we get to Easter Day, and Jesus is risen, and the old fuel tank fills up again. They're absolutely ready for anything. And then for 6 weeks, they're fine, aren't they? Yep, the fuel tank's okay. Jesus pops up and doesn't pop up. But nevertheless, they know he's around, and that's great. And then we get to Ascension Day, and Jesus is taken back to heaven. And he says to them, you've got to wait now. I have gone, but somebody else is coming. And gradually, of course, the old fuel tanks start to empty again. And it's really interesting. If you were to read the chapter before the one that Peter read to us, you'll discover that one of the first things that they did was to vote on a replacement for Judas. And they cast lots. And you think, why would they do such a ridiculous thing? Why, when everything was happening, did they decide we're going to vote on a new disciple? And I think maybe it's because when you're running on empty, when you're not really connecting with the Lord, when you're not praying and seeking, then sometimes you just rely on your own strength. And in that strength, you just have to do something. Have you ever been there in life where you've just got to do something, however ridiculous it feels? Perhaps we shouldn't be too hard on the disciples. They didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we do. And with that history in mind, we come to the first Pentecost, where the Spirit came upon them in a way that they never experienced before. That great power from on high came and filled them. It was awesome. The writer of the book of Acts is called Luke, and Luke wasn't there in the room at the time, but he would have found out what it was like by talking to the other disciples. So what was it like? I'm writing this book for my friend Theophilus. What was it like on that Pentecost day? And they tell him. And it's such an awesome experience that they can't quite put it into words. But they know that the whole experience was audible. There was a sound like a rushing wind, Luke writes. And they knew it was visual. It was so amazing. It was like, well, what seemed like tongues of fire in the room coming to rest upon us. But even though they couldn't quite work out what it was, what they did know was it was an absolutely life-changing experience. They were not the same again. Peter got up and spoke. They got up and spoke about Jesus in languages that they didn't know, so that people were suddenly hearing the gospel in their own language. It was a pivotal moment in our history, because never again would the people of God be without that amazing power source. Never again would Christians have to run on empty. And all this had been foretold centuries before by the prophet Joel. Peter quotes him in that sermon, and he says, Joel writes this, he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I had a big birthday last year, which means I am now a dreamer and not a visionary. He says, your old men will dream dreams. Your young will see visions. Even on my servant, Joel writes, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. I'll show wonders in the heavens and the earth, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That was Pentecost then. This is Pentecost 2021. And I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Are you running on empty this morning? Are you running on empty? I don't need to remind you that this last year has been, well, the worst in living memory. You know, the church hasn't met properly. When I became a Christian 35 years ago, I could not have dreamed that there would be a time when we wouldn't be able to physically go to church. I couldn't have imagined that there would be a time when singing praises to God would be banned. It's been a really hard year. Some of us have been ill. Some of us have lost loved ones. And it would be so easy, so understandable, just to become disconnected a bit with God, because we're not getting the fellowship that we need to really fuel our faith. It would be easy to do that, so that our spiritual fuel tank is on E. And actually, if we are really honest, it may not be on E, but it may not be on full either. If you're feeling that your tank isn't full this morning, do you know what? There's good news. Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said this. He said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, to them the door will be opened. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How much more will your Father in heaven give to those who ask? Never again will the followers of Jesus be far from the heavenly petrol station ever again. All we need to do is ask. We do not need to run on empty. God is offering us a gift this morning, and indeed every morning, every afternoon, every night, every day, to everybody. Come and receive the gift afresh of the Holy Spirit. In a moment, we're going to listen to some music that Carol's going to play for us. And Max and I have got some olive oil. It's been scented with spikenard, which was the perfume used to anoint Jesus' feet before his burial. And this is just a simple symbol. But you know, it's a powerful one. Olive oil was used in the Old Testament as a sign of God's anointing and the filling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, our Queen was anointed with olive oil just at a special moment in her coronation. In fact, for her, it symbolized that God was anointing her for the task to come. And for her, it was so sacred that that was the one part of her coronation that was not allowed to be filmed. Olive oil is a powerful sign of the coming of the Spirit. And because we're being COVID compliant, we've got lots of Q-tips, one for everyone. And as the music plays, I'm just going to invite you, if you'd like to come and receive an anointing of the Spirit, then just come and we'll anoint you with a cross of oil. If you come, maybe put your hands out as a sign that you want to receive. Max and I will just say the very simple words, "Come Holy Spirit." And if you respond with that, "Come Holy Spirit," that will make it your prayer, not just our prayer. And if you're watching this at home, you can do this with some oil from home, just to pray, "Come Holy Spirit." Now, there may not be the sound of a rushing wind. There may not be tongues of fire filling St. Thomas's and resting on our head. But wouldn't that be brilliant? It may not be that, but do you know what will happen? Because the promise of God is there. God will meet you. Because he has said that when we ask, he will give. So are you running on empty this morning? Come, ask, receive. Holy Spirit.
In a moment, we're going to continue with our communion service. Just really feel nudged to remind you that this doesn't stop here. We symbolically received the Holy Spirit, but it's not just a symbol. You have received the Holy Spirit. If you call on Him, you will be saved. We've heard that today, haven't we? And so actually, one of the lovely things about this particular church building and this particular service is we go through some words that are very familiar to us, which we can get lost in those words and take that time to commune with God in His Spirit. So just hold on to what you've got. Don't let it run on empty again, and actually use these words that we are so familiar to us to continue to pray and seek His Spirit. And once again, if you wish to, you can, but you don't have to stand for the creed. You're more than welcome to. And we acknowledge in this creed, don't we? We acknowledge Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's say this together as a declaration of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's all sit as Susie brings us our prayers for this week.
Let us pray. On this day, when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of your church here on earth, we pray for those worldwide who are persecuted because of their faith. We pray for the freedom to declare their faith safely, Lord. Father, in your holy land, we pray for peace and strength of the truce that holds so fragilely in Gaza. We pray for the families who have lost loved ones in this conflict. We ask that you enable aid to reach those in need. And I lift the children to you, so instantly caught up in the death and destruction in this conflict. Father, we pray for all the missionaries around the world and for those who would promote peace, that you would surround them with your love and protection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our nation, Lord, for the lifting of lockdown and that people have the sense to be responsible. We pray for those with anxiety and depression, Father, that has been highlighted in lockdown, and for those who have had little or no contact with others. We pray for the students of all ages. As study and exams resume, help them to readapt, Lord. We pray for the healing of the NHS system and for those who work within it, Lord. Father, give them strength and peace. We pray for a swift recovery of our economy and the transition that we've got with Brexit. And Father, we pray for wisdom for the government. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we pray for the growth of your kingdom here in Bedhampton. We pray that you use us to show love to our neighbours. We pray for the children and the youth work here in our church, Lord, that you guide us as we seek to do the best for our young people. We pray for our PCC and our church wardens for health, peace, and wisdom, Lord. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for your healing power, Lord, and for all the healings that we have seen over the last year as we have lifted up our prayers to you. Holy Spirit, would you bring your healing power to those who have asked for healing in our news sheet? And we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died. Father, be with them. I pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit on each one of us, that we will be used by you, Lord, to achieve all that you have planned for us. As your Spirit, Lord, brings your gifts, I ask that we are all receptive to all you have to offer us. Father, we lift praises to you, Lord. So, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Susie. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and build up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And as I prepare the table, you can give each other that nod of peace.
Bring the
Father, we sense your Spirit's peace upon us as we celebrate your communion. Might our worship be acceptable to you. Amen. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son. Born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, call into mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory. We celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As we turn to page 12, we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And so, my friends, draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table, but you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him. We, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. And so as we receive communion here, and our friends on the internet receive communion over a hymn, do be careful as you come up and distanced away from each other, and be careful of the mat as you go back down that way. Receive the body of Christ for all God's people. Amen. I receive the blood of Christ shed for all God's people. Amen. Just a reminder in my mind as we were taking communion there, as Peter was saying earlier on about the Holy Spirit not being a one-time thing, that we can receive the Holy Spirit every day, every morning, I think he said, every afternoon, every evening, every day. Well worth holding on to as we receive communion every week, don't we? Faithful God, who fulfilled the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of a life eternal. Open our lips by your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say our prayer of thanks together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We who the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so, my friends, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.